This is going to be a great year. In both the natural and the spiritual, 2016 is a leap year. In the natural, a day is added to the calendar. We have the 29th of February. But in the spiritual, God is releasing divine acceleration into the lives of his people in order to advance and to fulfill his purpose in our lives. Get ready to experience leaps of God's favor, blessing, and divine appointments that are going to create tremendous opportunities and breakthroughs throughout the year. This is your leap year, and things are going to happen in Christ's name. Turn to someone and say, I'm leaping this year. Tell them that. I can't help myself. Being prophetic, it's easy to latch on to that. So I'm going to use that kind of as my base tonight. Thank you. I know Dr. Iverna blessed you on Sunday here as normal. And Mary and I were engaged in a great church in Central California where God moved in 5 or 6 services. And the cool thing is that God is using me a lot in this season to introduce people to a healthy application, a healthy expression of the prophetic. And it's really cool that churches are open to it, first of all. Open to God speaking. That's a big, huge thing. And so we just had an incredible weekend with many, many testimonies. And I was praying for the sheriff. He, of course, didn't know who he was. And I said, you know, since you've been 12, God's called you to protect people. And you carrying your father's anointing. His father was a sheriff. And he just started weeping. Just many, many, many hundreds, a couple hundred of those kinds of things happened. God's doing great things in all the world and in all the nations of the world. We're very proud of Becca. She's gone for what she's done. And for the other, you know, everyone in this church should have a passport and get it ready because you just never know when God's going to use you. And that kind of thing's going to happen. Okay, let's go forward. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is my first text tonight. First point is the leap of a praising heart. I'm so happy and really honored and humbled that I'm serving in a church that loves to worship. Not just because of, you know, the behavior of worship, but because of the incredible consequences of a worshiping person, a worshiping church. So worship changes everything. It changes the atmosphere, changes the outcome, changes us. And as we worship, incredible things happen. And there's in all of the world today, this is one of the really exciting things that's happening, is we're experiencing a worldwide worship revival. There's always been great preachers. There are great preachers on the planet now. And I, you know, have their books, their tapes. There are great teachers. There are great pastors. But we are experiencing something that's beautiful, unique, dynamic, and historic, and that is a revival of worship. It's in the heart of God's people. You were made to experience God's glory. Worship gets you there. So 2 Samuel chapter 6, I'll skip down to verse 12. So David had his first goal, his first priority after becoming the king was to bring the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was more than a box or a religious symbol. It actually was an instrument where God dwelt. It was the container of God's glory. God couldn't live in unregenerated man. So he lived in the Ark of the Covenant. And so David, for all of Saul's reign, the king before him, the Ark was in the wrong place. It was never brought back to God's people. It was never brought back to the place of honor in Jerusalem. So David said, the first thing I'm going to do is get the glory back. And so he's going to get the Ark. He's so excited. He's very exuberant. And the Philistines had sent it out of their country on a new cart. He just follows that pattern, and they create a new cart, and it stumbles, and Uzzah touched the cart to try to steady it, and he was killed, and David's offended. And so David tried to do the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way and couldn't get it done. And then the Ark of the Covenant went to a man's house. And that's what we'll pick it up in verse 12. It was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obadiah and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So the ark was parked there for a few months at this guy's house, and his house just begins to flourish because of God's presence and glory being there. And David then, he that desire for God's presence and God's blessing is rekindled, and he brings the ark back. This time he does it according to the due pattern, the right process. And it was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And then every few paces, there was supposed to be a sacrifice. So they did it the way it was supposed to be done. But then David adds in his own expression of worship. And so it was, verse 13, when those bearing the ark of God had gone six paces, they sacrificed oxen and sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. So here's the king. Here's the most powerful man in his country. And really, concerning the purpose of God, the most powerful person alive on the planet. And yet, when it comes to God's presence, he's just a worshiper. But he was a great worshiper. And he's worshiping the Lord, the Bible says, with all of his might. And so that's not the little charismatic, you know. That's a person twirling. In fact, the word dance means to whirl. This is the guy totally out of control, okay? He's leaping, he's spinning, he's athletic, and he's using all of his physical attributes to express a dynamic worship of God. He's joyful beyond containment. And the Bible says, verse 15, David and all the house of God brought the ark of God with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. So here's David leaping and dancing, and now they're shouting. Teruah is the Greek word shout. It means a great thunderous shout. It's the shout of destiny. It's a shout that was given when the walls of Jericho came down. It's a shout that was given when they built the foundation for Zerubbabel, the temple. It's the shout that's given when God's glory is returned to the house of God. And so they're shouting the sound of the trumpet. And so verse 16 says that his worship was so radical, it offended his wife. Now, when the ark of God was come to the city of David, Michelle, David's, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. She despised him in her heart because she wasn't a worshiper. She was a product. She was a consequence. She was the fruit of a dead religious system. And no matter where I'm at, you know, I was at a ministry at a church that maybe didn't have the same expression of worship we do. Didn't matter. I worshiped like I do here. You with me? Sloppy on the floor, dancing, my whole thing right there at that church. I didn't care because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for him. And man, if you're gonna worship, man, I'm gonna go for it and I'm gonna manifest God. So before I was a preacher, I was a worshiper. And after I'm done preaching, I'll be a worshiper. In heaven, they won't need me to preach. I'll still be a worshiper. That's what I'll be forever. That's my ultimate calling. That's your ultimate destiny, to be a worshiper. So David is now leaping. Now, this is so important. There is something that awakens in the heart of God's people when they experience the glory of his presence through worship. And that leaping expression of praise. Remember the first time you raised your hands, or the first time you bowed, or the first time that you sang in your heavenly language, or the first time that you worshiped God in a greater way, your heart, or a more tender way. Those moments where we encounter God that are so life-impacting, life-transforming. Those leaping moments. So I just want to say to you, fasten your seatbelts, because the church is going to a whole nother level in worship. And something's happening that's really important, dynamic, strategic. You know, tonight the worship could have gone on for an hour easy. It just was, and it's just not normal. You're just not a normal American church. And I love it. On a Wednesday night, we're going for God. It's awesome stuff. So worship getting us there. And this is going to be your year that in worship you're going to encounter God in such a powerful, dynamic, and transforming way that things are going to happen. Things are going to be released to you. Things are going to be healed in you. Things are going to happen in the periphery of your own story, in the people that are in your life and in the circumstances that you experience. Things are going to happen because of God's presence in worship. The ark of God, the glory of God carried by you, expressed in worship, is going to cause a leaping of joy. I pray that when you get up in the morning, that your song gets up with you, your heart awakens. And like Pastor Bonnie said, you know, we sang God's good. You don't need a reason to praise God. Your sins being forgiven is a reason. Going to heaven's a reason. God's love for you is a reason. Amen? You may have a bunch of things going haywire in your circumstantial world, but you've got already eternal reasons to praise God. And because he's so good. Amen? Second thing is this. The leap of confirmed destiny in Luke chapter 1. There's a beautiful story of Elizabeth and Mary. Mary, the mother of Christ, when they met each other after being parted for a while. And verse 41 says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The second kind of leaping I want to tell you about this year God's doing for you is that you're going to encounter divine appointments. They're going to awaken inside of you a leaping of heavenly agreement that God is doing something, God is releasing something, God is birthing something, or God is creating something in your world. God's going to confirm it. Your spirit's going to leap about something you hear or see or watch or read. You're going to see. It's going to be a leaping of agreement. Your spirit saying, yeah, 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 that's mine. Let's go for it. God's given me that. That kind of spirit is yours. Get ready. That God's inside of you. Your spirit's coming alive. Her baby, Elizabeth's baby now, 6 months pregnant, when she heard the sound of Mary, Jonathan leaped for joy. He leaped, and there's all kinds of things. Maybe she was unsure of the baby's being alive. Maybe there hadn't been movement. Maybe there could have been 1,000 things. All we know is when the baby heard the sound of the mother of the Savior, he leaped for joy, recognizing the connection, recognizing the anointing, recognizing the caring that she was carrying the Savior. And God's going to give you this year powerful confirmations of his will. And God's going, listen, there's stuff inside of you that you're not even sure that it's alive or awakened or, you know, but there's a dream inside of you that's going to come alive through a confirmation. It's going to be a leaping of your spirit. Say, yep, 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 God's going to do that. I feel it. I know it now. And God's going to help you find his perfect will through a beautiful expression of confirmation. Amen. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. However, God can talk to you, and then while you're watching TV, something jump out at you. Whatever it is, he's going to confirm it. The Bible says in Romans, the Spirit of God inside of us leads us. Romans 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Daddy God, Abba Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I heard great praise reports, Pastor Marla, about the prophetic ministry tonight, about the team. That's wonderful. And we are a prophetic church, man. If you come here, God's going to talk to you. And it's just something that we carry maybe a little special. But for all of us, the number one way God leads us is by bearing witness. The number one way. So every day, it's a simple way of looking at it. Inside of you have a stoplight. You have a red, a yellow, and a green. And the Holy Spirit will check you about things. You'll feel a hesitation when he doesn't want you to do something. And he'll green light you when he does want you to do something. And he'll yellow light you when you're supposed to be cautious. Move cautiously. So the Holy Spirit helps us. The only times I've ever gotten in massive trouble is when I ran red lights. See, something can look so good to your eyes. Oh, that looks so good, man. That's got to be God. And the Holy Spirit's not even, nope, nope, nope. Don't trust your eyes. Trust the Holy Spirit. Can I help all the single people? they may look perfect, but you have to trust you're not smart enough to pick out the perfect mate. If you trust the Holy Spirit, he will green light you and he will red light you. And you don't need any, if someone says, well, you know, have I done something wrong? Nope, but you've been red lighted. I'm sorry, you're not the one. You with me? See, I've been doing this as I've been a teenager. I was 19 years old and in college, and a cheerleader from UCLA came in, a blonde cheerleader came into the dorm, a boys' dorm, and there's 100 guys like vultures surrounding her, and she came to see me. She said, I saw you at church. She said, okay, and and so we're talking. The whole time she's talking to me, I said to God, is she the one? That's all I said, is she the one? Because I don't even want to, I don't want to do anything. So I go up in my room, I pray the rest of the day. She'd come back in the next day, and I said, you're not the one. She said, what? All the vultures, I mean, all the guys that don't, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't have found my Mary. You with me? I couldn't have found the right one if I took the wrong one. And for jobs, for life, for everything, for people, the job may look perfect, but if the Holy Spirit gives you a red light about it, don't do it. But man, when you get the leaping inside of you, I don't care if it looks like it's the worst job in town, Holy Spirit, that's, oh, yeah. You're working where? Yeah, working there. It's inside of me. I'm supposed to do it. But God, so we travel around and people say, oh, it's so hot in Phoenix. I said, Phoenix is the best place in the world if you're supposed to live here. If you're not supposed to live here, the heat will bother you. The heat bothers me a little, but the heat will really bother you if you're not supposed to live here. God gives you ample grace for every place he directs your feet. So when you're in the right place, you always have enough grace. Okay, so the Holy Spirit leads us with leaps of confirmation. And God doesn't want you to forget the thing that's inside of you, the baby that he's trying to give life to, the birthing of a dream, a destiny, whatever it is. It doesn't matter if no one can seize it. It doesn't matter how long it's taken. If it's leaping, it's going to happen. And I declare over you, God's going to confirm his will in your life this year. And you're going to find some, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, God, that thing. I've got things in me that have been there like 25 years that haven't happened yet. In fact, one of them happened today. It's been 20 years, 21 years. God spoke to me. It happened today. And all those years, it's never left me. It was supposed to happen. Yeah, we were leaping. Okay, the third thing is the leap of restoration. The leap of restoration. When people can't leap, it's because they're broken. Okay? When people can't leap in praise, when people can't leap into a functioning obedience of God's will, when people can't leap forward in a fulfilled life, whatever it is, there's something broken in them, and the Holy Spirit heals our brokenness in order to release our leap. This year, whatever's been so broken in you that you've not been able to spring up and leap out, it's getting fixed. This is your leap year for healing. Acts chapter 3. I love this chapter. It is very poignant, very prophetic, very powerful chapter because it's really an apostolic picture of the last day church, of the church age. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, 3. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who went into the temple. And this is a contradiction, a paradox. Okay, there's a dichotomous thing happening there. So this guy is so dysfunctional, the Bible doesn't give us his name. It just gives us his dysfunction. You can have an issue so long, people forget your name and just remember, oh, that sister, you know, what's her, you know, brokenhearted, divorced. That's brother been through hell. You with me? Oh, I can't remember that pastor's name. Remember him? He's the guy that, thanks. So what happens, this guy has been through, his life now is defined not by his identity, but by his trauma. His trauma has surpassed and supplanted his identity. And here he is broken. And yet, simultaneously, the broken guy is laying at the gate called Beautiful. And Beautiful in the Greek is horaos. Hora means hour. Horaos means the right hour, the right season, beautiful time. So he's in a beautiful season, even though he's broken. I'm prophesying to you right now. It's your time, even if you're broken. It's your time, even if you have an issue that's been dominating you for too long. It's your time. You're in the right season. You're in the right place, the right city, the right region, the right environment, the right church. Your issue is not bigger than your God, and your time has come. So they laid him at the gate of right timing. He's at the right timing. Come on. It's always the mistake when the church postpones things. Oh, God, a great revival is coming. Well, in the meantime, we're having a pretty nice little one. Now, I want a national one. I know what I'm speaking about, working with lots of churches. So Pastor, how do you do it? You just become a revival. I'm having revival. Our church now is mimicking that, expressing that, and the community's experiencing that. And yes, there are bigger realms, there are bigger waves, but we're having waves. There are bigger expressions of glory, but we're having glory. There are bigger miracles, but we're having miracles. There are bigger harvests of souls, but 100 people get saved at the altar every week. So we're having something, it's just gonna get more. So the timing's right. Everybody say the timing's right. Now just help me. So I was trying to help that poor church talk to each other. I said, you know, in my sermons, we do a lot of talking. You know that you belong to a charismatic Pentecostal church when you're every 5 minutes talking to your neighbor. But there's a method to my madness. You know, when you teach someone, every time you add a physical behavior, a sense behavior, you double their learning. So when people hear it, they retain 25%. When people hear and see it, it jumps to 50. When people hear, see, and say it, it goes to 75. When people hear, see, say it, and write it goes to like 90%. So the more you involve your senses, the more you remember things. That clicks with you, they stay with you. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's your time. Come on, help me. Turn the other way and say, it's your time. Now, can you imagine? See, he's been doing this every day. Every day he's laid there. Every day he's been in the right time, but no one told him. It's always been the right time. And no one had told him. Here come his two preachers. Ah! It's your time. It's your time. Heaven is looking at you. Your time has come. So it's the right time when God says it is. No matter how bad, it doesn't matter how badly it feels or how wrong the timing is in your mind. When God says it's time, it's time. Anybody here, women have had babies, families. So these babies come at awkward times. Have you noticed that? I told my wife, first baby, honey, I got to get up at 5 for my job every day. So have your baby just right after work at 3. And then I can be back in bed and by. So, you know, she wakes me up at 1 in the morning. My water broke. You know, we had a water bed. I leaped out of the water bed. I almost bounced her out of the room. Boom, boom. Yeah, water beds. Google it, young people. For some strange reason, we thought they were cool. So our babies came in these awkward hours. My second child, Matthew, came. Mary was in the hospital, and it was New Year's Eve, December 31st. And that night I had a worship service. So the night we go to the hospital like at 10 o'clock the day before. She has labor, and so we're there for like 10, 12 hours, whatever it was. And then I got to go right to a church service for, you know, a watchman service, I think from, you know, 7 to midnight. And I'm up there leading worship on the piano, I think that night, playing the organ. And I look down at my shoes, and I have a brown shoe and a black shoe on. Because I was just so overtired, and I thought, normally I would care. I'm so tired, I don't even care. You know, I don't remember playing anything or singing anything. I'm just lost in the... So when God says it's the right time, it's the right time, even when it seems like it's the wrong time. So I want to help you again. Your time has come. Come on, someone shout, it's my time. Okay. So they walk up to this guy. And so, verse 4, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. There's a lot there. I just will say this briefly. That Jesus is the answer for the world today. And since we are the carriers of Jesus, we have the right to say to people, look at us, we can help you. We want to be engaged in the culture at its places of need. We want to be engaged in people's lives at their point of need. And we want to say to them, we can help you. That's what he was saying. We can help you. We've got something for you. Okay, look at us. And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Here's a little point. Expectation is it is the birthing ground. It is the it is where miracles find the most fertile expression of life. So expectation is the birthing ground of miracles. So this man's expecting something. Now, let me just help you. God's got things beyond your expectation or beyond your specific focus of what he's going to do. But just live in an arena of expectation so you get whatever's coming. Say with me, something's coming. So to anticipate, to expect, is an expression of hope and faith. And when you live in that environment, you attract from God what he would deliver to you by promise. Okay, so he's expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. You know, but probably he wasn't prepared that day to have a gift for someone. But what I do have, I give you. I have the currency of God. I have the currency of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up. This guy had never done anything. And the first thing he does was leap. You're about to leap into expressions. You're about to do things you've never done and go places you've never been. And you're going to leap into it by faith. The man leaping up stood, walked the temple, and entered the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. He didn't have to go to leaping school. He didn't have to go through a week-long praise class to learn how to leap. It was instinctive. It was intuitive. After encountering God in such a miraculous way, his expression was to worship God in a heightened, joyous way. There's something inside of you, maybe that's never leaped, it's about to leap. Y'all with me? Well, Pastor, that's just not my thing. No, it is. It's just not come out of you yet. There's a leaper inside of you somewhere. We're going to help it get out, okay? So this man is, I want to go back to Peter. So Peter said, I've been given by God, I have God's credit card. And everywhere I go, whenever God wants me to buy something, he said he'd pay for it. So he said, I'm going to use the currency of exchange. And the currency of exchange that brings heaven to earth and God's promise to fulfillment is the name of Jesus. So he said, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, get up. In the name of Jesus, it's time to be fixed. In the name of Jesus, it's your season to leap. And he pulled the man into a different season. Peter, John also give an expression of the apostolic and prophetic walking together and being restored to the church. So he leaped up and he did what he'd never done before, walked into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Say those three words with me: walking, leaping, and praising God. Yeah, you're going to walk with God this year, and you're going to come to seasons where you leap up, where you're going to go to higher plateaus, higher dimensions, higher expressions. You're going to have just these moments where God takes you higher, where victories come, where appointments are made, where opportunities are fulfilled, where breakthroughs are realized. You're going to experience, just keep walking, baby, and there'll be a leap somewhere in your steps this year, and the consequence of that leap will be a praise to God. Walking, leaping, praising God. And everyone knew, verse 10, this was the guy. This was the beggar. He was sat at the gate of timing, the right timing. They were filled with wonder and amazement. Amazement is ecstatic, where we get the word ecstasy, a displacement of the mind, to blow someone's mind, to take it to a heightened place of mental or emotional experience. So they experienced that. So a couple things. The word rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And they lifted him up. It's the same word, egiro. The Greek word, egiro. Egiro means to lift someone up. And then it means these things: to awaken someone from sleeping. To awaken. Wakey, wakey. The Holy Spirit's awakening something inside of you that's been dormant, that's been sleeping, that's been passive, that's been unfulfilled or unrealized. It means to waken from injury, from obscurity, from ruins, from death, from dying. So wherever you are in life, the Holy Spirit, by the power of the name of Jesus, is ready to resurrect your life and pull you, raise you into a walking, leaping, and praising season. And so I just prophesy this is your leap year, and you're going to walk with God. You're going to leap in moments of ecstasy, moments of divine opportunity, moments of prophetic fulfillment. You're going to then praise God at a heightened, powerful, passionate, and radical, heartfelt way, because of what God's done. And this man experienced what he'd never known. He'd been so close, but no one told him. Our job is to tell the world their time has come, that Jesus has already come, rescued them, paid their price. They've already won the lottery. Christ died for them. Their sins are already forgiven. Their diseases are already healed. Their lives already rescued and redeemed. Peter's given, of course, a big crowd surrounds them. Peter's preaching. And in verse 16, he gives a summation of how it happened. So this is Peter talking about how a miraculous, this is the first miracle of the church age. And here we're kind of given the beautiful expression of its origin. And his name, Peter said, verse 16, everybody say Jesus. So there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. Every disease must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every oppression must bow. Whatever we ask the Father in his name, we get it because the name of Jesus. So in his name, Jesus, someone shout Jesus. Jesus. Through faith in his name. So Peter said, well, these two things collided in my heart. The name of Jesus and faith. I believe in his name. I believe his name has power. And then to make sure that they did not associate his own greatness with the greatness of that event, Peter said this: through faith in his name has made this man strong that you see and know. Yes, the faith that comes through him. So Peter said, he gave me his name, he gave me faith. Now everybody say, I have faith. Yes, you have faith. It's like a muscle. Okay, it grows. It becomes stronger. by usage. It grows stronger by hearing the word of God, by praying in the Holy Spirit. It grows. Your faith muscle can grow. And it can grow to the point when you expect things to happen that are supernatural. You expect the impossible to happen because God's promised it so, not because of anything inside of you, except that you have the name and you have faith. You grow your faith to the equivalent power of the name, and then you release the power of the Spirit for a miraculous conclusion or result. Miracles happen when the name is released in faith. End of Mark, Jesus says this, Mark 16. These signs will follow them that believe. King James Bible puts a comma there, a semicolon. In my name they'll cast out devils. Lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Drink poison and not die. And so he's talking about in his name. So I was reading that a few years ago. And of course, commas and even verses are all discretionary by translators. The Bible is written in fluid. You know, there's no chapters and verses in the original Bible. They're just letters, except for the book of Psalms. And so I felt the Lord say, I want you to move the comma to after name. So here's how I read it. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink poison, they won't die. They'll lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. It's his name. His name is the producer. His name is the wonder. His name is the miracle causer. His name is heaven's currency. His name. And so when we have faith in his name, you can tell the devil to get out of your family, your children, your marriage, your life, your body, your business, your finance, your ministry, your city, your business, your school. His name. And he concludes it by saying, yes, the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So perfect soundness is a great compound Greek word. Holokleria, and holokleria means this: integrity, complete in every part, something that's whole or sound. Here's a great sentence: something restored completely to its original design, having all its parts. So let me get this right. There's a guy who's never done something because he was born paralyzed, either by disease or by misfortune in delivery from his mother's womb. He's experienced the trauma of life that way. And yet he's going to encounter the name. And the name has so much power. The name has power to restore people to what they were supposed to be before the devil hurt them or sin got them, before life afflicted them. So here comes the name. It's going to encounter the brokenness of a man. And the name is so powerful, the name lifted up the man. And immediately his bones were strengthened. And the man walking, leaping, praising God, did what he'd never done because the name restored to him what he was always supposed to be. And there's a part of you this year that God's going to restore that something broken or sick or dying or hidden, something that's not fulfilled or not realized. There's a part of you that the name's coming to, the glory is coming to, and as God's going to say to that thing, it's your time to rise and walk, and God's going to lift you, God's going to pull you up, and something inside of you is going to awaken, something that you've never done, something that you've never seen, a dimension of life you've dreamed about, hoped about, wondered about. The name is going to take you there. The name is going to heal you. The name is going to release wholeness to you. It's God's will that you be whole. It's God's will. And whatever inside of you is broken, God has a lifelong commitment and determination to heal it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A constant demand for freedom to come to every part of our life. This year you're going to leap. This year, it's not too late. Well, Pastor, you don't know, this guy had been for 4 decades in one position, living, identifying, and being identified by his brokenness, living controlled by it, bound and limited by it, and one encounter with God. It was the right time. And here came the name. And listen, people don't care. I saw some unbelievable miracles this weekend. People don't care that it was me that brought that. They just encountered Jesus. And we have to get over us. Get out of the way so he can do some stuff. So someone was asking me, man, why does it happen? And I said this, because I chronically, consistently, determinedly take risk all the time in ministry. What happens? I get miracles. Every time? No. But a whole bunch of times. We shook a whole city this past weekend because of miracles. Not because of a sermon. I preached my best. But then God showed up. And notable miracles happened. And I was promising a girl that brought, you know, I've not met these people, come up to me. And I said, your heart was... So imagine my first words to her, your heart was broken when your father left. First words. Well, she melted. And then started wailing. So here the story was, she's been fighting suicide because she felt so rejected. So afterwards they tell me, when her father left her, all these things happened. And now God's wrapping his arms around her. He's lifting her from that place. He's healing a deep, profound wound in her heart. That's Jesus, 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 Jesus. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is raising you up. The name of Jesus is ready to raise up some folks around you. The name of Jesus is like a tiger wanting to be uncaged, like a lion ready to roar. It's like a waterfall ready to be released. It's like a reservoir ready to spill over. The name of Jesus is ready to pour out of you to a world that desperately needs God. Oh, come on, lift your hands to heaven with me. God, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you and praise you, adore you. Father, I declare it over your bride, your people. What an honor it is to stand, to feel your love and express your word to your bride. And I just declare that this is a leap year. That there's going to be a leap of praise and glory, that there's going to be a leap of the confirmation and awakening of destiny, and there's going to be the leap of restoration, where brokenness is removed from our hearts, our lives, our bodies, our homes, wherever it's found. Thank you, loving Father. Thank you, Papa God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, praise you. Would you stand your feet with me? We worship you and praise you. Come on, just keep worshiping for a little bit longer. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Jesus.
For I will taste and see that you are good. And I will taste and see that you are good. And I will
prayer team, would you join me down front, please? Come on, sing it. God, you're so good. We love you. I will taste.
I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. Good to me.
Come on, lift it. Beautiful. We love you, God.
I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good.
I feel like there's a bunch of people God's touching tonight. I want to invite anyone here that's never received Jesus as your Savior or you've been away from God, you've never known the forgiveness of your sins. It's a free gift. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. We'd love to pray with you and stand with you, lead you to your loving Savior. If you're hurting physically, emotionally, mentally, you need prayer, we're going to pray for you. And listen to me, the Lord just said to me, there's a bunch of people you felt like, you know, somewhere in this message, you felt like God was talking to you specifically about this year. And something inside of you leaped. There was a leaping inside of you. I want you just to come and stand here for a few minutes at the altar. If you say, Pastor, I'm claiming this as my leap year. Something inside of me was awakened during this message. Just come here and stand at the altar for a minute. I'm going to pray over you. We're just going to minister to other. Come on. Just keep worshiping Him. Something's happening. Just keep pressing into God. Come on down, feels good. Shoot down forward, everybody. I will
taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good.
Come on, something's happening. Something's happening. We love you, God.
I will taste and see that you are good. For I will taste and see that you are good. For I will taste and see that you are good. Good.
There's nothing God can't do. And God's going to show you this year how great He is, how great His power. And the thing you've been carrying almost 2 years now, a great wound, a great hurt is leaving you. It's exiting tonight. Joy is coming. Grief is ending and praise, joy, life, hope, and dreams are coming. And God's going to show you that He's not done in your story. He's not given up on you. He's not upset with you. But He's madly in love with you. And things are going to change. Everything you've asked, God's given you. Everything you've asked. Thank you for big faith, the Lord says. Thank you for big, outrageous dreams. Why not? Why not? Why not you? Why not now? Why not here? Get ready, get ready, get ready. In 2 countries, miracles. 2 countries, properties. 2 countries, a connection in a realm of people that others are afraid to walk into and touch. I've given you favor. And I want to use you to bring deliverance to the captives. You think you've seen some things. You've seen God's faithfulness. You've seen God's goodness. But the Lord said, you ain't seen anything yet. I've anointed you for promotion. I've anointed you for influence in your generation. I'm putting things together. I'm building a house. I'm building a team. I'm building a destiny. I'm building a testimony that's going to shake the nations for my glory. Matamas, I saw a beautiful thing. I saw a whole warehouse had either your name or your company's name. When this thing grows and develops, God's going to give you a business that goes to nations as a ministry and as a tool. A and see that you are good. Good. Come on, just keep worshiping God. Come on, I will taste and see. Jesus. I will taste and see that you are good. I'm collecting the pieces. I'm collecting the scattered, broken pieces. I'm going to build it all back better. I'm going to build it all back greater. You're going to see my power, my restoration, my faithfulness, says the Lord. Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I got a great word for you. A season has lasted 3.5 years and another, really almost 7, but 3.5 years of intensity. But it's ending. The Lord said the famine's over. Tell them the drought's over, the famine's over. Things that have been withheld, things that have been denied, things that have been cut off, things that have been stolen, things that have been ruined. That season is over and a new season has begun. A redemptive season, a restoring season, beginning with your health, beginning in your body. God says, I'm not done, and you're going to live a long life, and you're going to see my glory in your life, and you're going to run a race faster than others. And I want you to know that I'm for you, and you're going to conquer this thing, and then you're going to conquer many things, because I called you, and you are mine, says the Lord. Command disease to leave your body. Come on. I will taste and see. Come on. Come on, lift it to heaven. I will taste and see that you are God. I will taste and see that you are. I got a great word for you. So lifetime, 3 times there was adverse rulings or actions or legal functions. And I heard like a gavel come down, and I heard the Lord say, tell her I'm ruling for her, that heaven has ruled for you tonight. And there's a shifting of the momentum and direction of your life, because God has made a way for you to walk that no one can stop. I loose the power of God into your life, family, or story in Christ's name. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I called you when you were a child. I wrapped you in my glory and showed you things. You saw things as a young man that you're going to live now, experience. God says, thank you for not stopping the dream. Thank you for holding on to me. Thank you for believing for the things that I would do. God says, I made you unusual. I gave you an intellect. I gave you creativity. I gave you compassion. You're a mixture of these things. And you confound people, and they can't figure you out. But you're my man. You're my anointed vessel. And I'm going to blow people's minds by what I use you. I'm going to use you in the nations. This thing's being settled today. A battle is being settled. And God declares victory is yours in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, press into God, everybody. I'm going to consume you with the fire. The fire, the fire, the fire. The fire that took you to nations, the fire that took you places. The fire is back, the fire is back. It's burning. You're gonna burn for me this year. And see that you are good. Come on, come on. I will. You have a great heart, young man. I had a vision of this man. massive oak tree, huge. God's going to make you a shelter, shade, tree of righteousness, integrity, godliness, tree of anointed purpose, a leader in your generation. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for obeying me. Thank you for leaving things that were not good. Thank you for choosing life. Thank you for hungering for my spirit.
I will
keep going forward. God's gonna blow your mind with blessings. Come on, keep worshiping, Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. I will take There's a godly heritage, inheritance you have of significance. There's something powerful. And I heard the Lord say, you're going to take the baton and go further, go faster, go higher than others. There's this glorious thing inside of you of dream, of strategic thinking, dreaming, of imagining. God says, you keep dreaming, you keep imagining, because I'm doing something awesome. I'm writing on the tablet of your heart the purpose of your life. And God says, you're going to run. You're going to read it and run. You're going to ignite the fire in others. You're going to be an encourager, an enabler, a trainer, a teacher, a helper, an exhorter, a lifter, a nurse, a doctor, a healer. You're going to help people change their life. Thank you for giving me your heart. I saw like three stages of a healing. And you've been through two of them and you're in the third stage. I heard the Lord say, I'm healing the last parts of a pain in you. I'm healing the last parts of brokenness. By the power of my love, my mercy, my name, my presence, my glory, you're mine. And I'm healing you because I love you. And see that you are good. Come on. Good.
Good.
Come on, lift up. I will taste and see.
I will taste and see that you are good.
For
I will taste and see that you are good.
You are good, you are good, you are good. Someone to church with you Sunday. I've got a powerful word to rock your life. Have an awesome rest of your week and get ready to leap. God bless you. High five someone and say, I'm going to leap this year. God bless you.
See that you are good, for I will.